Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we are going to have five rounds of the magazine. Round number one, our friends, the Russian Orthodox ministers, are blessing babies, marriages, and now nuclear bombs. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? Round number two, we've all been in staring contests, but one is happening overseas right now, and it's slightly more serious. Russian contractors in Syria are getting into standoff with U.S. troops, and tensions are high after some potentially dangerous encounters. Round number three, a spouse surprise at the State of the Union had many in tears, but for a lot of veterans watching, it was bittersweet after nearly two decades of war. Round number four, one employee at the Little Rock VA improperly gave out $311,000 in disability payments to 11 vets after miscalculating their claims, and those veterans affected get to keep the money. Is this employee the Robin Hood of the system, or just really, really bad at their job? And finally, round number five, sources believe North Korea is close to completing a submarine with nuke capabilities. Those sources believe this sub would be very noisy and easy to spot. So there's that. North Korea might have a nuclear submarine, and all that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Hawthorne. Now, before we really start talking about what Hawthorne has to offer to you, Kate, did you have a go-to scent whenever you were in, like, high school, middle school, college? What was your go-to scent?
Ugh, unfortunately, Bath & Body Works Country Apple. I was the basic, the most basic of bitches.
That is basic, yep. Bitch. Country Apple.
And then a little love spell dashed in there, Victoria's
love
Secret.
Spell. Yeah, I like love spell. I like Clinique Happy, too, for the ladies. I think that's a good one. Young Bryn, what about you?
The blue can of Axe.
Oh, Axe guy.
Big Axe guy.
That straight up smells like middle school. I mean, you smell Axe, that smells like middle school. Mine was, do you guys remember the cologne called Jupe? Did you ever see that?
Nope.
J-O-P?
No.
No? It was like came in a purple bottle and it was gross. I had that one.
Did it make your Jenko jeans smell better? A little Jupe on my Jenkos.
Yeah, just a little Jupe goofing. Whenever I was at the outlet malls, I went to the outlet malls over the Christmas break. I was in a Tommy Hilfiger store, and I just to see what was going on in there. I hadn't been in a Tommy Hilfiger store forever. I was like, let me take a little step in here. The Tommy cologne was hot.
Oh,
in the
yes.
When I was in middle school.
Sure was.
Big time.
Yep.
I always wanted that, but now the difference is this cologne actually smells good. I have the Hawthorne package that came in because you go onto their website, you sign up, and it's pretty cool. It walks you through everything. Like it says, do you like whiskey? Do you like going to bars? Do you spend time in a library? Where do you like to hang out and things like that? And it gives you a scent to matches that matches that. I love everything that I have. I picked the full one because in full, honestly, they just send it to us for free. So I picked out this entire package. I got the deodorant. I got the face lotion. I got conditioner. I got body wash, and all of it smells good. One of them has like the body wash has a cedar smell to it. So I use that as a bubble bath. I'm taking a little manly
fancy
bubble bath. It is wonderful. I recommend it highly. You got to go try this out because Hawthorne, I think they're going to change the way that cologne and shit is legitimately done. That's not part of the read. I just really think that you got to go and take this little quiz. It takes 2 minutes and you feel like a super fancy boy. It comes in this amazing looking package that even if that's sitting down and you have like a lady coming over, or even when my wife came in, she was like, what's this? I said, it's my new cologne set. It's my new this and that. And she was like, wow, you smell good whenever I got out of the shower. And I usually, folks, listen up. I usually smell like a big old pack of dog dicks.
It's true.
Badussi.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, Badussi. Big time Badussi guy. but now I smell wonderful, and that's because of our good friends at Hawthorne.co. You can go and check their website out. It's hawthorne.co, and use our promo code zero, and you're going to get 10% off your first purchase at Hawthorne.co. It's amazing stuff. Go get some. People who at Hawthorne, they're probably listening like, that's not exactly what we expected. Or maybe it is. It's just that good. I actually do feel that way. Kate, I'm proud of you. Over the last couple weeks, you've been stepping out. You were going back to your place in Queens and just kind of hanging out on the weekend or hanging out at night by yourself, like staying work late. Lately, you've been getting into some extracurricular activities outside of work, outside of the barstool people, making your own friends. I love to see that.
Yeah, you know, it can be kind of isolating when you move to a new city. And I think any veteran who gets out and decides to go to school somewhere new or move to a city other than their hometown, they kind of experience that too. And I love all my work friends here, but I was like, man, I only have work friends. I need to start branching out because I was getting kind of sad. I was getting kind of bummed out that, like, on the weekends, if your work friends are busy, what do you do? And also at age 30,
you go home to your parents' 55 and up community.
Go home to my parents' 55 and up community. I like take a 2-hour train and like hang out back in my hometown.
Smash butt heavies.
Yeah, smash butt heavies. And also, I've moved every single year since I was 18. And this is the first time I've really been able to say I'm settled here for the next few years at least. So I can really start to make a home for the first time. So I was like, you need to start. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was getting kind of low. And then, you know, the interview with Daniel Sharp from Pop Smoke, he was like, veterans are so quick to help other veterans, but they're very slow to do things to help themselves a lot of times. And you have to, like, you can't just be lazy. It's not going to magically happen. You have to, like, fight for yourself. So my way of fighting for myself was joining the local bocce league. And then now they also, they're, like, the kindest, sweetest people, and they're also mega dorks like I am. So the one lady is like designs clothes for dogs. That's her job in New York City.
Oh.
Like hoodies for chihuahuas, just sassy sayings. She's awesome. And then the other guy, they're all just like delightful people. The other guy loves bingo. So last night, me and two other people from my bocce squad went to bingo. It was very wholesome. It's a treat. It's very
and
nice.
See, when I saw your Instagram.
I know.
I saw your Instagram story and I was like, oh, she must have been tying one on last night. You came in, you're like, oh no, we're just drinking Diet Cokes and playing bingo.
Sweet potato fries, Diet Cokes and bingo. I can't get enough of it. It's very nice.
That's a good Midwestern night out in New York City.
Yeah, there's this, but it's really opened up a lot of, and when you make friends in your neighborhood and they know all these little nooks and crannies of it that I don't, and so I'm learning more about where I live and like really starting to settle in. So yeah, it's been really fun. I'm going full cat lady and I'm here for it. I'm not mad about it.
I love it. And that's why I like going to play golf with myself. Like there's been people who said, oh, do you want to be like traditional golf partners where we go at the same time? I don't like to do that. I like to just go and join a random group with two or three other older dudes that usually go early in the morning like I do and just see what they've been getting into their life. It makes me just interested in their stories whenever you're just putting around the green waiting for other people. I like going out and meeting random folks too. Maybe I should join a bocce ball league. You're not going to meet. I think of all the types of leagues that you could join, it would be impossible to join a bocce ball league that was filled with bad people. Those don't exist.
Right. Because they're my kind of people because it's like a sport, but we're not doing anything physical.
Right. You could have a CD dart league. You could have like a bowling league where everybody's alcoholics and shit like that, just really fucked up. You're not going to have that in the bocce ball
league. Oh, we do get super fucked up on bocce night.
Oh.
Yeah. I ripped
but more like in a goofing way.
And I feel
in
like
a goofing way.
Like
it's
a bocce league would weed out the people who are overly physical when being competitive. Like a basketball league, like people will body you around, hard fouls, bocce league, like
we
no
got
physical
the tape
contact,
measure,
just
so
make,
you can only
friends.
Be. Yeah, you can only be so competitive. We bring out
you
the
You just
got
to keep over competitive cons out of there.
No it's doubt. True. He would be the first fist fight in bocce ball history, I think. But yeah, and also.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, you thought I was done? I've only just begun.
No,
I'm filling in for cons today, so I'm just going to be like, wait, I got one more thing.
Ramble,
I got
ramble,
one more thing.
Ramble.
I'm going to a cousin's weekend in DC this weekend, so I'm very excited. Speaking of time went on, very excited to hang out with all my cousins. There's like 20 of us taking over DC, and we're going to do some tourism goofing. And we're also going to get pretty drunk probably, but...
Yeah. Katie, two packs of cigs will be back on
Saturday
night, I'm sure.
Expect Katie my Cowboy voice on Monday's show is going to be like, welcome to Zero Blog 30. So...
Welcome back to Zero Blog 30 with your host, Mike Wazlowski.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to round number one.
Round number one So I'm not religious anymore, but I grew up in the Catholic Church. And one of my favorite things every year, because to me it was pretty ho-hum and vanilla and boring a lot of the times. I didn't love it. But they did the blessing of the animals every year. So the priest would go out in the parking lot and everybody could bring their pets. And it was kind of like a pet parade of all the parishioners bringing through. And my favorite was the Abbott family had a goat. And they would bring their goat, and it was just like a spectacle that everybody loved. Some people would bring their birds in cages. We brought our cat Jetty Boy, rest in peace. He was a delight. I know, longtime stoolie Jetty Boy.
Brick by brick.
We all sure do miss him. But slightly more aggressive version of Blessing of the Animals happening over in Russia with the Blessing of the Nukes. So according to new guidelines being discussed by the Russian Orthodox Church, Russian priests should refrain from the practice of blessing nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction that can inflict loss of life. So that means they have been blessing these things if they're looking to stop it. During 2 decades in power, Vladimir Putin has aligned himself with the Orthodox Church, which has also developed closer ties with the Ministry of Defense. So no separation of church and state there. And for as long as history goes, the Russian government has used the church kind of as another way to control the people type thing. But Russian priests have long appeared in images sprinkling holy water on submarines, ballistic missiles, space rockets, and other pieces of hardware as part of rituals to bless them. But some say that it needs to stop, and the church has approved a document drawn up by the commission to cut that out. The blessing of military weapons is not reflected in the tradition of the Orthodox Church and does not correspond to the content of the rite, the document from the church in Moscow says. Blessing or sanctifying weapons that kill an indefinite number of people must be excluded from pastoral practice, it says.
I like that the church has to make that statement.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
That at some point, they're like, you know what? We've been doing this for a little while. Let's go back and review our social media policy. Our social media policy right now is allowing us to bless these nukes. But maybe we should take just a tiny little half step back and say, you know what? Long-range missiles are fine as long as they don't have a nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
We're not doing any of the nuclear warhead blessing at all. But if you've seen any of these, the Russian Orthodox priests, these
ballers
folks are wild cards. Just the way that they dress, like I don't understand how that happens over tradition where it's just like the priests, they add more and more pomp and circumstance to their outfit. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a high-level Russian Orthodox priest, the clothes that you're wearing look like you're stepping off the runway in, like, 18th-century Milan. Like, where you're wearing all kinds of garters, you're wearing all kinds of big hats. And these Russian priests, they are fucking crazy people. One of my favorite videos in the history of the internet is where these Russian priests, the Russian Orthodox priests, I think they're actually in the country of Georgia, where they will take the babies and they will baptize the ever-loving fuck out of these babies.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're basically fucking Undertaker and doing like a tombstone on a baby into the water.
It's
where,
like,
some of the babies are baptized so hard that the moms like leave crying. Like, what did do to my kid?
It's like the baby is an Oreo and they're just dunking it in the milk extremely aggressively. I promise you there's babies that ding the edge of that sucker.
It's like when Blake Griffin went up for that dunk, but he didn't dunk it. He just rose above the hoop and threw it into the hoop.
Yes.
That's what the priest does with
exactly.
the baby.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So definitely a slightly different vibe over there. And knowing, too, that it's so tightly tied in with the military there. And in a symbol of the close defense church ties in Russia, the armed forces are building their own sprawling cathedral. So the military is building. I'm trying to picture, like, the Marine Corps building its own. But they're building this enormous cathedral at a military-themed park outside of Moscow. And it's set to be one of the tallest Orthodox churches in the world. So the military is building this mega church. And it's on this. So I went down a rabbit hole on this. Military-themed park outside Moscow. So I Googled that, and what came up was Patriot Park, and it's considered Russia's military Disneyland. So it is this enormous, it's like hundreds and hundreds of acres, and it displays military hardware in a family-friendly environment, which also attracts international arms dealers. So it's almost like in a massive showroom for Russia's military capabilities and weapons and vehicles and everything. And people can climb all over it. You can go to shooting ranges. You and your family can go to a mount town a simulated meltdown and like take over famous buildings and do all sorts of crazy shit. They have the simulators, like the game rooms.
Man, where... those fellas from Richmond a couple weeks ago would have a field day.
They oh my God. Yeah. Absolutely.
Gittos.
But it's absolutely crazy. So
this sounds awesome. I just want to say.
I know. I mean, looking at the photos like, of it, it looks pretty sweet.
Like that sounds like you could fit like an awesome paintball course in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like clearing buildings and going around tanks and all that kind of
stuff. I
think
they kind
of
have
that. Actual stuff. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's huge. When Vladimir Putin opened the park, Patriot Park, in 2015, he proudly announced that it would be an important element in our system of military patriotic work with young people. During the same speech, he also announced the addition of 40 new intercontinental missiles to Russia's nuclear arsenal. So that kind of sums up Patriot Park. You know, every kid in Russia has to make a field trip here. You know that it is used just to indoctrinate people further into the... But looking at the photos, I mean...
And not even
wild.
That, but you know that the people in the military there, the Russian military, they have to do working parties. Like if you're a tanker and your tank is there, you got to stand out there in your uniform and tell like all the different kids what the weapons do, show them where to go, how to be safe and shit like that. As a dog handler, I used to hate doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the main things that dog handlers constantly had to do was go out to demonstrations and show people what the dog could do. Mm-hmm. Because if something goes bad, it's ultimately
so bad.
On you.
Yeah.
The command would always want to see bite work and aggression and things like that. You know that's going
to
happen here.
I've had that happen to me before. When I used to I was emceeing one summer. I did an internship with this like summer league baseball camp, and we were doing a canine demonstration where you know, the guy was supposed to, like, well, basically, like, what you
did.
Yeah,
in the Starbucks video.
And they were supposed
did.
To grab onto the arm. They take the dog out of the back of the cop car, like, by the pitcher's mound, and he was supposed to grab onto the guy at second base. And he went straight for the first base umpire. But then I guess the trainer, like, whistled, like, right away, and he stopped. But, like, the umpire
shit his
pants. He
oh,
went
yeah.
ghost white, and the dog, like, flew out at him, and he thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to get attacked
by
a gnarly German shepherd.
I imagine at this Russian military park, that happens every day there. I mean, not the dogs going crazy.
They
but,
don't care, though. Like, right, if you're a Russian kid and you get bit
dies,
by a police dog, they're like, this the problem. This is what happens when you're in Russia. You get bit by a dog.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was a pretty good off-the-cuff Russian accent. Not great?
No, not it was great.
Above average, I would say.
It was above
in
average.
Russia,
I'll say that.
It dog will get you.
Dog find you for dinner.
Dog find you da, in Russia.
Da. We're both pretty good at it, actually. But final thought, it made me think we should open one military theme park here in the United States. And hear me out. Ticket prices. If you want to pay the minimum amount, like $45 to enter the park, you enter as a PFC. And you have to wear a lanyard that represents mm-hmm. your level, your rank. If you want to pay a little bit more, guess what? You're a staff NCO. If you want to pay the full VIP price, you're an officer. Officers get to skip to the front of the coaster lines and the PFCs
like a fast pass at Six Flags.
And the lower ranks have to clean something in order
yeah,
to earn.
I was going
to
say, you can get in for free if you want to go in as like a private or something like that. But anytime you walk by like a trash can, somebody could be like, hey, pick that shit up, bitch. And you have
right.
to do it.
Exactly. And like smoking areas for the officers are cigars.
Nice.
And there's vaping. Yeah, it's a whole thing. There's smoke pits, everything. But military theme park, I think we could make it a thing.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe now with Penn National being involved, we could make up our own ZBT park.
I don't hate that. It could.
Yeah, we get sponsored.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. All right, let's move on to round two.
Round number two, I'm going to level with you guys. When I read it, I had no idea that we were even really there anymore. And I didn't know that Russia was there either. Russian personnel are engaging in potentially dangerous standoffs with U.S. troops on highways in northeastern Syria in violation of agreements between D.C. and Moscow to stay out of each other's way in a war-ravaged country. Photos circulating on social media have shown U.S. military trucks blocking civilian vehicles that local journalists say are carrying Russian contractors on the highways. These encounters, while tense, haven't used any force or anything like that, but apparently they're becoming more and more frequent as the U.S. says Russian contractors are winding up in nooks and crannies that they are not supposed to be. So
that idea. Anytime that you say, and it's like an intelligence briefing, like there are nooks and crannies, I'm like, man, those sneaky motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They're back in the nooks and crannies again?
Oh, yeah.
The nooks and crannies?
If Syria was an English muffin, Russia, way down deep at the bottom of the bread pockets.
Oh, and the little, that's how you know it's a good English muffin, if there's little holes in the yeast. And
oh,
the
for
bread.
Sure.
The more airy that an English muffin is, the better. I've learned that from the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, a lot to learn from that show. But also, it ties in very heavily with what's going on in Syria right now, yeah. Chaps, you know?
Oh, definitely.
For sure. Top U.S. envoy James Jeffrey confirmed these standoffs were occurring in northeast Syria with increasing frequency, and some have taken place in areas deeply patrolled by the U.S. So it's almost like the contractors are kind of like, look at us. What are you going to do about it, bitch? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? And nobody wants to be in that situation where you know your hands are kind of tied. There's nothing you can do, but you don't want to be the one to step away. You don't want to look like a little bitch. And more, especially with the boots on the ground, those frustrations are probably rising. So the incidents are raising concern in Washington about the risk of a clash between the two major powers, and that it could possibly escalate on some level. So they're starting to the Russians starting to challenge our presence in the Northeast, which is not great. And as a reminder, President Trump ordered a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria in October. So far, our troop numbers there have dropped from 1,000 to about 600. And U.S. forces continue to patrol the Northeast along the Kurdish troops and guard oil fields under Kurdish control. So we're there. We got about 600 troops guarding these oil fields, and Russia's kind of eking in. They're like butter melting on an English muffin, getting down into the nooks and corners. And what are we going to do about it? You know, so I didn't even know any of this was going on. I'll be honest. I'm not an expert. This is news to me. But yeah,
I would just imagine being one of those 600 that are still left on the ground, being someplace where you really have no idea. At least there's a cursory reason why you could say that you're in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Yeah,
like you can kind of know. But whenever you're in Syria and you're dealing with that and it's such small numbers, the why in the fuck am I here aspect has got to be so strong.
And to know that basically it's pretty straight up, we're just there helping the Kurds guard some oil fields. Like, we're protecting so that Russia, it's like almost like a proxy thing. Russia, by way of Syria, can't get their fingers on these oil, on these oil fields. So, which I think would be the jelly of the English
muffin. And you're one of the 600 troops left, and you hear about the round number one where they're doing all kinds of stuff and blessing nuclear warheads. You're like, oh, wow.
You run to your chaplain. You run to your chaplain and say, can you bless this gun?
Yeah.
They're blessing
their
nukes.
What's going on with the U.S. chaplains? What are they blessing?
Yeah, what are they doing? I feel like they've been asleep on the job on this, and they haven't been blessing as much weaponry.
That's the thing with the U.S. chaplains. We don't just have one religion. I think we should grab all of them. You can have your Wiccan chaplain, your Jewish chaplain. Mm-hmm. You can have the Muslim chaplain, the Christian chaplain. All of them get together. All of them bless it, and then you're guaranteed for mass destruction.
Like a Captain Planet. But for... yeah.
Where they all have, like, their Dakota rings that match up.
Wiccan! Christian,
yeah. Muslim.
Yeah,
the Wiccan character on Captain Planet would be dressed like a fucking weirdo
for sure. Absolutely. But yeah, interesting to see how this shapes up and how this develops. And again, it just kind of made me think of, there's been a couple times where I'm drunk at a bar where I kind of, especially in the ladies' bathroom once in San Diego, where I got in a standoff with another lady. And, like, nothing came of it eventually, but for a few minutes there, you don't want to be the one to turn away.
No, what does that mean, Kate? Like, how do you – I just – because you're just always such, like, a happy drunk person.
Yep.
I can't imagine you getting – she splashed you with some soap and ruined your green apple scent, or what happened?
It was a small bathroom bar in Pacific Beach, and I had just gotten back from my first deployment. It was, like, first night out, so I was all crusty, and I thought I was a real hardo. And this group of girls was sitting on the sinks, and I wanted to wash my hands like a dork. And I was like, excuse me. And they wouldn't move.
Their pants all wet by doing
and
that.
I know. It was a whole thing. They were doing like a whole photo shoot. And I was just trying to get through, and they were being like super bitches about it. And I just kind of was like,
get the fuck out of the way.
Get the fuck off the
I got city. A little bumpy, I think. I got a little like push out of the way-ish. And then things. And I was like, and then finally I was the one who walked out of the bathroom. And I was like, fuck. But so I don't want us to – I don't want our troops to be the ones walking out of the bathroom of Syria.
That's one way to have a homecoming.
Thanks.
We're going to tell you about, in round number three, another way to have a homecoming. All right, round number three made some waves during the State of the Union. We haven't really talked about the State of the Union. We're not really talking about the state of the presidency or the state of politics in general in the United States right now. Just because you can get that from so many other sources, we've decided to stay away from that for the most part. But one aspect of the State of the Union that did affect us was that President Trump brought out an Army active duty soldier who had just came back from deployment, and it was actually his fourth deployment to the Middle East and Afghanistan. His name is Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams, and he just got back, and he has kids and his wife. They hadn't seen them. So President Trump stopped the State of the Union in the middle when he was recognizing military members for their service and things like that. He stopped in the middle of the State of the Union, brought out the Sergeant First Classes, brought him out to this family, and everybody clapped and cheered and had this emotional moment.
War places a heavy burden on our nation's extraordinary military families, especially spouses like Amy Williams from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and her two children, six-year-old Eliana and three-year-old Rowan. Amy works full-time and volunteers countless hours helping other military families. For the past 7 months, she has done it all while her husband, Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams, is in Afghanistan on his fourth deployment in the Middle East. Amy's kids haven't seen their father's face in many months. Amy, your family's sacrifice makes it possible for all of our families to live in safety and in peace, and we want to thank you. Thank you, Amy. But Amy, there is one more thing. Tonight we have a very special surprise. I am thrilled to inform you that your husband is back from deployment. He is here with us tonight, and we couldn't keep him waiting any longer.
Cons immediately said that he was crying when he was watching it. Several comments on his feed whenever he retweeted that video said that they were crying and emotional and things like that. It's beautiful to see a homecoming, but there was other aspects of it that we're tired of having homecomings, right?
Yeah, I feel like surprise homecoming porn is this. You go down a YouTube rabbit hole, and it's video after video, and every single one always goes viral. And, I mean, we've had a lot of those on even Barstool's site on the Instagram mm-hmm. and the Twitter pages that go viral.
It's one. If you're in the spot in your life where you need a good cry, you can find
it. Oh, for sure.
And I think the ones with the dogs are even more emotional. Like, if you have the mm-hmm. dog coming, when the dogs can't even bark, they just yelp and whine, and jump all over the place. Like, there's one that comes straight to my mind with a golden retriever that comes in, and the golden mm-hmm. retriever just goes absolutely bananas, and you're just sitting there. If you've had a couple glasses of whiskey, and you're listening to that, and it's like, love me when I'm here, love me when I'm gone, and you're watching these, you will cry. It's a beautiful moment, but there is certain aspects of family that goes into these homecomings that I don't think a lot of the civilian populace realizes. There was a thread on Twitter that from a woman who works at military.com, and she talked about how whenever a spouse comes home, whether it be your husband or your wife, and they come home and you haven't seen them in 8 months, you haven't talked to them more than like once or twice a week for a period of 8 months, this is like a new person. It's what you go through in a year deployed. You come back as essentially a brand new person. She talked about the struggle of having a young kid, and it was something that I recognized, and I actually talked to Kelsey about it this week, my older daughter, who's 14. When I left Okinawa in December of 2006. I didn't step foot back in Okinawa and see my daughter, who at the time was 2.5. I didn't see her for almost 11 months from mm-hmm. the time that she was 2 to she was 3, almost 4. And whenever I came back, I was at the airport. Kelsey came running. I saw her little red hair bouncing. Obviously, I knew what my kid looked like. Kelsey had zero idea who I was. She ran straight past me, went to another dude, grabbed his leg because he was wearing the same cami pants and was just trying to grab somebody. She would go to the PX and be like, is that dad? Is that dad? Because I'm a white dude who's 6 foot tall and 160 mm-hmm. pounds in the Marine Corps. That's everybody. Your kids don't even know who you are. So while you're having this emotional moment, there is some part of you that wishes that it could be a little bit more private. Is it beautiful getting recognized by the President of the United States? Absolutely. That's a wonderful moment that these kids will have for the rest of their lives. But you also think about what's going on behind the scenes, and that's a really difficult image to have.
I think my thing with these surprise homecomings is that it kind of sugarcoats everything else that's been going on. It's easy for the public to look at this and love this without thinking about what happens in the days, weeks, months, years after somebody mm-hmm. returns home. and what they were doing before, and that it's been going on for nearly two decades now. We've been getting these videos for two decades now, and it's almost like this little Band-Aid over this enormous wound that we're ignoring. And so, I don't know. It's bittersweet to me. Again, very happy for the family, and but
I think an apt analogy for me is like, you know, there's certain time, most of the time I don't want to eat a hot dog. But occasionally, whenever the Chicago boys are out at a Cubs game or they're at a White Sox game, and they post a picture of a beautiful Chicago-style hot dog that has, like, a little peppercini on the top, a little pickle, and it has a little bit of tomato and some mustard and some relish. And you look at that hot dog and you think, that's a beautiful-looking hot dog. To me, that's what that homecoming was. Huh. But inside the hot dog...
I'm not tracking this at all.
Let him finish.
Okay.
Inside the hot dog, you still don't want to see how that hot dog is made. No matter how beautiful and appetizing it looks at the moment, watching a hot dog get made from scratch is still an ugly process. The process of building that Chicago-style hot dog still is gross, and it still takes a long time, and there's a lot of things that you don't want to see in that process, too.
Wow. So, you know,
I got there, right?
You did. Yeah, I did. You did. We're using English muffins and hot dogs today. I wonder what food will be.
Yeah, but we're glad that Sergeant First Class Williams is home, and we hope that everybody else comes home too, because we are tired of being at war. And I know, I think that that's probably the biggest divide that we have amongst active duty listeners and veteran listeners and things like that. There is a ton of people in the military who that's all they want to do. I was in that boat. Whenever I was in the Marine Corps, that is all I wanted to do was deploy. Like,
for
that was my mindset. Yep. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. So when they hear us say, we want you all to come home, the people that are training every day, they're like, fuck that. I actually want to go do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want to be like, let me save you from yourself, my little bird. Come here and hop into my pocket.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. The Marine Corps. And that's the reason why we are who we are, because rough men and women are ready with guns, ready to march to the sounds of the guns as well. And that's the reason why we appreciate them. Let's move on to round four. All right, for round number four, we're going to talk a little bit about back pay, because I think back pay is one of the things that binds us together as a military community that we all love. When you get the point where you're getting a little bit of back pay, everyone loves it. Now, what you don't love, conversely, on the complete opposite side of the coin of that, is whenever you are paid too much and somebody from your command tells you that you have to pay it back. That's what almost happened with the VA, right, Kate?
Almost, but not quite. Luckily, oh, fuck. Almost. Sorry. Pretty close to it, chaps. The Department of Veteran Affairs handed out 311,000. Oh, God. 311,000.
Yeah.
311,000.
Yep.
300. Marine Corps, I never did that math packet. Anyways, 311,000 in improper.
Let's just round it out. We'll just say a cool $300,000.
Thank
just
you.
To make it easy. It's kind of like the.
I'm sweating.
It's kind of like the Candyman. It's kind of like the math teacher on Willy Wonka. Whenever he's like, I can't do just two. Give me a number that I can have. How many did you get, Charlie Bucket? 25. All right, 25 and 100. That's 25%.
I still don't know percentage.
That was your best accent of the episode so far. We've done a couple,
The Department of Veteran Affairs handed out about $300,000 plus $11,000 more. $311,000. $311,000, is that the correct way?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus.
Are you dyslexic?
Mother of God.
Please.
All right, so they handed out $311,000 in improper disability payments after an agency employee miscalculated claims, according to the department's inspector general. The overpayments stem from a single employee at the VA's Little Rock Regional Office in Arkansas. They made a bad decision by processing the paperwork incorrectly, so all these people got a little bit more money than they were due. In addition, nearly $6,700 in improper payments were being paid on an ongoing monthly basis at the time. The failure in the system in Arkansas resulted in compensation that wasn't warranted, according to the IG report. In some cases, the claims were previously denied. The erroneous payments were not the fault of the veteran, the IG state, and no one has to pay back the money.
Woo-hoo!
This is a big step from where we used to be. Because we did a story probably 2 years ago, maybe maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter. It's hard to say. My memory is bad. But we did a story about this where there was, I think it was the National Guard in California, where they were overpaid a shit ton of money, and then they ended up having to pay back. There was people that were defaulting on their mortgages, on their car loans, and things like that because the government was saying, we are going to stipend your money where you're only getting 10% of your paycheck and 90% of it's going to us to pay it back.
Right.
That was very difficult for these families. Having that money in, especially when it's something like the VA or military pay in general, like if you're a civilian listener, you think like, oh, your pay should be automatic. Well, when you go to different locations, you get cost of living allowance, you get OCONUS pay, you get hazardous duty pay, imminent danger pay, flight pay. There's so many different types of pay that you could get. It could be tax-free or not tax-free, depending on where you are in the world. There's so many different rules that it's almost impossible for you as the individual military member to know how much you should be getting paid. I, whenever I first got out, was getting I was getting paid at a 90% rate from the VA. I didn't know what the difference was from 90 to 100 because you hear 90% of VA disability. What are you going to get when you're 100? You would think, oh, it's just 10% more. That's not the case. It could be 60, 70% more than the 90% pay. It's a very complicated process. So these members had no idea what was going on. The VA saying that you can keep the money is great. I wish that would happen to me. But the claim process is complicated, and that's how these kind of mistakes get made. The area affected – this area affected 17,000 veterans who were stuck with $53 million in medical bills that the VA should have paid earlier this year. So there's all kinds of miscalculations that are taking place across the VA spectrum.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the VA acting like Barstool Sports because you've gone through this before, haven't you, Jeff? Where when you started, they were overpaying.
Yeah.
And they let you keep the money.
Keep it.
Right. And I had integrity, too. I had integrity. I called Erica and Dave and said, hey, I think you guys are paying me damn near double. And Dave didn't even know what my real name was at the time. They almost shut my pay off, too. I don't know if you guys – I don't know if you know that or not. But whenever I first started here, they were like, who is Matthew Cawthorn? Who is that guy? Like, we shouldn't be paying him. And then they figured it out right before they cut my payoff.
So. Yeah, and they let him keep it. But that's – you know, it's good to see, especially because that – $53.3 million you were talking about is from a different error. But yeah, they were not paying 17,400 veterans medical bills. So they're stuck, these poor veterans are stuck with tons of medical bills. And then in 2019, the Inspector General found out the federal government owed at least $189 million to 53,000 disabled veterans who overpaid on their VA home loans. So at least for these 11 vets, they get their payments and then some. And I'm not mad about it.
Good and job. Whenever we think about the 20-year war that we talked about in the previous round, the amount of people who are going to get VA benefits for the rest of their life is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
The VA is already the second biggest branch of the government. I cannot imagine what that's going to look like in the year 2060 when all of us are old as fuck, decrepit as fuck, and we all need walkers. Just the amount of money that the VA is going to have to put into all of our hips is going to be crazy. Crazy time money.
Indeed. And by the way, that story was brought to us by Steve Bannon over at Stripes.
Hell yeah. Shout out Steve Bannon. Long time stool.
Long time stool.
Brick by brick.
Yeah. And he actually said, whenever I said a couple weeks ago that I don't know if there are friends at Stars and Stripes, he actually said, we are your friends and we would like to drink a beer together. So I appreciate that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Cheers.
That was nice.
As long as you pay.
Yeah. True. I'll pay. Fuck it. let's move on
Just
to round
kidding.
Five.
Round number five, I have a little song.
All right, that was Kate's song inspired by Yellow Submarine. A little bit of Kim Jong-un goofing here on the podcast because I almost said our friends in North Korea.
No,
I'm just kind of
they're not stoolies. No.
They're not our pals at all over in North Korea. Well, the people of, I don't mind the people of.
Feel
the
bad
leadership
for them.
Leadership is bad.
Right.
We do get in the habit of that, of thinking that the people that we go at war with because they're dictator or whoever is bad. We can't do that. We can't look at the people as bad. The people in North Korea have nothing to do with what's going on.
Long time stoolies.
Yeah.
North Korean citizens. Yep.
They might be brick by brick kind of people.
For sure.
But Kim Jong-un, as we all know, he wants to be a leader on the global stage, have meetings with President Trump, have meetings with the different EU leaders and things like that. But he also wants to have a military arsenal that's respected around the world. And in order to do that, you have to have advanced nuclear weapons. This year, he may be trying harder to find them by putting them under the sea. Under the sea. I sang a little bit there.
Yeah, right? I like
Sebastian.
It.
Let's see if I could do a Sebastian Ariel. Nope, that was bad.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was more Master Splinter.
That was.
Leonardo. I would have loved to see where that was going.
Leonardo. Okay. Anyways, so then recent reports have the North Koreans, they are touting a new submarine and its test of a ballistic missile designed to be launched from one, and that has fueled speculation that a sub might be the new strategic weapon of the North Korean. Kim has promised to unveil it this year, and while such a vessel would probably be noisy and unable to stray far from the coast without being tracked, which I'm no submariner. Like, I've never purported to be a submariner. We've never made claims that this is a podcast that knows a shit ton about submarines. I would venture to say most experts in the submarine community would say that submarines that are loud and easily traceable kind of defeat the purpose of being a submarine.
Well, I just love that a news source, this story is coming from Bloomberg, and, you know, the journalists are, you know, supposed to be completely objective about everything, and they're like, I mean, this submarine's probably going to suck. They're just like straight up like, it's probably going to be noisy and we're going to be able to track it super easily.
They
so.
Might even just paint it yellow.
Which yeah, one do you might. Think will be better? Do you think the ones that Kim Jong-un they build will be better, or the narco submarines that go from like Cuba to Miami with kilos of cocaine in it? Which one do you think will be better?
Where the Coast Guard guys jump on top of them and they surrender like badasses?
I imagine pretty similar, but they're saying, the news is still saying, even if these submarines suck, it'll still make Kim Jong-un happy. He'll still be like, all right, check us out. Like, he's just happy to have a new toy. But they are also saying even one submarine lurking off the Korean Peninsula beyond the gaze of spy satellites would give U.S. military planners a dangerous new threat. It is something they still have to consider and still have to make plans for. Like, fuck, here they go. The kids
and
have
we're
a
doing,
new toy.
We do this all the time with Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans. We always kind of laugh and goof about it because they have movies like Sony's movie about it with Seth Rogen and others. We always kind of laugh about what's going on with Kim Jong-un. It is a serious threat. Like, he could take out Seoul, like, in a heartbeat, like, with how many weapons that they have there. But at the same time, it's very difficult for me to take Kim Jong-un seriously because his haircut's just so fucking ridiculous.
It is
like, if
super
he would
bad.
Get a better haircut, if he would have a crew cut, I'd be like, this guy's not fucking around. But with that hair, come on, guy.
Hard to take seriously. Sheesh. And speaking of his hair, he's always in these photos inspecting something. Like, here he is inspecting beans on a conveyor belt. Now he's inspecting a tube pushing out weird goo. Look, he's inspecting women's high heels. And then here he is inspecting what they believe is this nuclear submarine facility. So he's walking through and it's kind of his way of touting it.
No one has ever looked happier looking at petroleum jelly than
for
Kim
sure.
Jong-un.
I mean, absolutely
he
delighted.
Is fucking
it looks like a delight to watch it come out of
it's,
the tube.
It
like
really
one of
does.
Those like, like gifts where it's just like, oh man, that looks awesome.
Yep.
I could watch this all day on a loop.
Yep, like ASMR
looks like
for your eyes.
It does look, it looks very appetizing for petroleum jelly.
Put it right in my mouth. I mean, my goodness.
Oddly satisfying, I think, is what I was looking for.
But I was just thinking of, you're a young soldier in North Korea, and you've watched dozens of missiles go up and then not quite make their you've seen a lot of failed missile launches and you've seen a lot of failed military endeavors, and now you get a tap on your shoulder and some higher up's like, congrats, you're going to be on our new nuke submarine. You're probably like, fuck me. No, you're probably like,
and you can't say you don't want to do it. Like, you can't be like, no, I don't want to, because they don't take that kind of shit lightly.
I remember seeing
a story of Kim Jong-un, one of his aunts and uncles, like, said something negative about, I think it was about a tomato was the story. Like, the North Korean tomatoes weren't as good as other places. So they took him out into a big field, strapped him to a pole, and shot legitimate artillery at them. Mm-hmm. Like, shot artillery rounds at them, and that's the way that they were executed. You just gotta go down with the ship if this is the case. If you're the young PFC, you gotta be like, all right,
okay,
here we go.
All
right. I'll get in.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, the guy killed his own stepbrother, right? His own with the ladies pretending they were in a game show. The craziness.
Not exactly a good guy.
Might be an interesting way to escape from North Korea in a submarine.
What if they get in the sub and they're just like, keep going.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because how are you going to get them? You don't have anything else that can go get it. That's the only one they got.
Right.
That's a good point.
You just steal it and go somewhere else. Like, take it to, I don't know, Japan.
If you're listening to this on a submarine in North Korea right now, keep going.
In all reality, you know how they do that, is that they have their families, the rest of the families that are back. Like, that's how they do it. And if if you're a deserter, then your family goes to work camps and shit like that. I know we're goofing, but that's what actually happens.
True.
That's not funny anymore, then.
No.
No.
If you're on a North Korean submarine right now and you hate your family, keep going.
Or take your family first and then, then you can go. Just make sure you bring them with you.
Call us.
Yeah. Download, subscribe, review.
We got real weird with it today, honestly. I think we just need to go into save rounds, alibis. Okay. We'll start with you, Bren. What do you got?
So I don't know if you guys know this, but one of Pete's new missions now, at least on the production side, is that he's creating a gigantic server where we're going to upload all of our footage, like a big, gigantic archive that's accessible for everybody so that all of our footage can last on something that's accessible for everybody, not individual hard drives. So, like, you know, there's, like, people, like, running wires and stuff on the back end of the office and that kind of stuff. It should be really cool. Should be
interesting. We're going to lose everything.
For
we're
sure. Just,
yeah, we'll find a way to everything. Fuck it up somehow, yeah.
Pete's our Kim Jong-un. Yeah. He's got all these wacky ideas for technology that are...
I wish instead of working on that, just stop the pipes from fucking...
Right?
Clanking. You probably heard that about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, about segment four, I believe it was. So my question for you guys is, was there ever somewhere where you guys were, you know, like on duty or it's, you know, on base or wherever, where you guys got an upgrade to something about the base that you were super excited for and it actually, like, worked and, like, you were hyped about?
New barracks was the upgrade for us. We had, like, the super old ones where they had us all sign this sheet saying we'd never been exposed to asbestos. And then 2 days later, then, they were like, you guys got to move, asbestos.
Yeah, you told us.
And we're like, oh, yeah. So they moved us into these brand new barracks. There was, like, a putting green outside the one, and there was elevators in it. And we were like, holy fuck,
the first time I went to a Marine Corps barracks with elevators, I think I was a sergeant at the time. I was legit pissed.
The Marine Corps is getting weak, getting soft. They're getting soft. Yeah, it was like 5 stories. People only ever peed and pooped in it on the weekends and vomited in it. Yeah, so it was a thing. But I think when we moved from – when we switched M16s to M4s, which is just – not that it's any better, but just a little smaller and easier.
Yeah, that was
whatever.
A big one.
Yeah, that felt pretty good. And when you switched iron sights –
it was pretty sick.
Yeah.
You got a new what?
A new gym.
A new gym, a new base gym in Quantico where everything was brand new. All the equipment was brand new.
Yeah.
And then in Okinawa, we got a brand new kitchen for the dogs, like where they – where you prep all the dog food and things like that. And it was right after I got promoted to sergeant that it opened. And I was like, fuck, well, now I'll never use it because I'm not going to do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to spray shit anymore.
Yikes.
Tough.
And also, for the record, I was not malingering yesterday. I just want that on the record. I have amoxicillin. I've got antibiotics at my desk. I was taking care of my physicals. You know, I mean, I'm sure you guys once or twice went up to Gunny and were like, hey, Gunny, I got a scratch in my throat. I can't do PT today. I'm just going to do some admin work back at the office. And
yeah,
he's like, sure, pal.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm sure you'd be better tomorrow. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
He was very
sweet. Kate, what do you got?
Nothing really. I guess I kind of word vomited it at the beginning of the show, but just I love my bocce league. I'm into bingo now. I'm feeling good. I started going to therapy again. So I just started this week. So making some positive changes.
What did you guys talk about?
Well, where do I begin? Enter hour 3 of the podcast. So there I was. So just finally getting the reins on some things and taking control of my own happiness. So that feels pretty good. And also highly recommend, as per usual, that if you're feeling some sort of way, you do it too. It's sometimes a huge pain in the ass, but definitely, I can already say, definitely worth it just because you know you're standing up for yourself and for your own happiness and stuff. And then also, I'm going to get pretty ripped in D.C. this weekend. So, you know, do some healthy things for yourself, but also treat yourself, you know. So that's all I got.
Excellent point. mine is that I'm making some healthy decisions too. I'm down like 20 pounds, maybe even 25 pounds now in the first month or so of the year.
Yeah.
I'm doing good.
Woo!
Doing good things there. And I'm excited to go with you guys to next week. We will be in Colorado for the NHL game that we're going to go to at the Stadium Series at the Air Force Academy. We've had a ton of people reach out. We should know the exact address on Tuesday's show of where we're going to be. So if you're at the Air Force Academy or in the area, you're in Colorado, come out to Colorado Springs and enjoy a good time for us. We'll be there Friday to Sunday. I'm excited about that. As always, Bren is doing a great job on the YouTube. Go to Zero Block 30 on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, too. You'll see some of our videos. We'll do some polls and things that like that this week as well. Other than that, thanks to everybody for listening. Cons will be back on Tuesday. He's doing big boy stuff. What do you got?
He has a saved round that he put on the sheet.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to make one up, but I'm just going to read his actual one. All the Army's newest officers picked their first posts last night. You picked based on your class rank. The good posts, Hawaii, Italy, etc., only have minimum slots and disappear quickly. Nothing worse than watching your options disappear and being forced to take a post you don't want. T's and P's to everyone who picked last and got stuck with Fort Polk and Fort Drum. Yes, T's and P's indeed to the Polk and Drum folks.
T's and P's there. And also, as a reminder, me and Kate's Sirius radio show is now at 5 to 6. So if you don't check that out, check that out. 5 to 6 on Sirius XM channel 85.
Power 85.
Power 85. Radio. It's also on demand. If you have the app there, just search Chaps and Kate or Barstool Radio. It'll be one of those things that comes up. Until then, we'll see you next week. Sound the retreat.